This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. There's a new blockbuster exhibition at the Cincinnati Museum Center. It's open and will be open through April. It's Dead Sea Scrolls, Life and Faith in Ancient Times. And here in the studio with me this morning is one of the co-curators of that exhibition, Dr. Risa Levitt Cohn, a professor of Hebrew Bible and Judaism at San Diego State University. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
I want to begin. I know a lot of folks have heard about the Dead Sea Scrolls, but what are the Dead Sea Scrolls and how were they found?
Well, the Dead Sea Scrolls are really a group of texts that were discovered between 1947 and 1952 in about 11 caves on the shore of the Dead Sea in Israel. And they are writings that date back about 2,000 years, so from about 250 BCE to 60 CE, a really important period in time because this is right when Judaism and Christianity are just taking form. So they're really unparalleled in terms of the quantity of writing and also the period in which they were written.
I want to say right up front, a lot of folks see scrolls and they think of scrolls, rolled up things. But these, while there were some that were scrolls, they weren't being 3,000 years old in that great a condition.
Right. I mean, we actually on display, we have one piece that's probably about, I would say, 3.5 feet long. But for the most part, you're right, they're fragments. And that has to do a lot with the way they were discovered and the handling that they experienced when they first came out of the caves. But all things considered, they're in pretty good shape, considered the age.
Now, is it true, I think, the one story about the Dead Sea Scrolls is it was a shepherd boy looking for a goat?
Well,
is that
you know
true?
That? We don't know. We know they were discovered by a group of Bedouin who stumbled upon a cave. What exactly they were looking for in the cave, why they happened to be in there, we're not entirely sure. It's not uncommon for Bedouin to be out looking for antiquities to sell on the market. So maybe there was a goat, maybe not. We'll probably never know.
Would they have recognized the significance of these antiquities?
Certainly not, and that's actually really an amazing part of the story, that they stumbled upon something that looked to them like leather with scrawling on it. They, of course, couldn't read it. They had no idea the potential significance, and they ended up over a period of time handing the pieces over to somebody who at the time was a cobbler, who later became an antiquities dealer. And the cobbler actually was a pretty enterprising guy because he looked at it and thought, well, this is probably a win-win situation. Either it's worth something or I got at least a half a dozen pairs of shoes coming out of this. And it was really this guy who then began to show it around and became aware that these were, in fact, quite valuable.
So what is the significance of these scrolls?
Well, among the scrolls, we have about 200 copies of the Hebrew Bible, which is, of course, the Christian Old Testament. And these are the oldest surviving copies of the biblical text that have ever been discovered. So that in and of itself is pretty significant. And then there are additional texts that, again, are religious texts that come from this period of Jewish and Christian origins and inform us a great deal about the theology and the thought process that was going on during that really important period.
Well, who wrote these scrolls, and how did they end up in a cave?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. There are several different theories of who may have been responsible for writing the scrolls. Some scholars believe that it was a community living very close to where the caves were located. Others believe it could have come from a larger group of people and maybe from the capital, Jerusalem. But the truth is that there's really very little in the scrolls themselves that helps us identify who the authors were.
Hmm. Now, what do the Dead Sea Scrolls say? You mentioned that there are copies of the Hebrew Bible, the oldest known copies of that, but you said there are other things that are mixed in there as well.
Well, it's really a religious library in that the texts that aren't biblical kind of show a concern that the community who wrote them had for the world around them, where things were going, what was happening. This is a very politically tense time in the period. And it's interesting because people had the same concerns that we have. You know, why are we here? Where are we going? How is it all going to end? And what does that mean for me? Those kinds of things are really kind of prevalent in the writings.
And it's fascinating to see how little things have changed over 3,000
exactly.
years.
Exactly.
Well, as old as they are, I assume the scroll fragments are very delicate, you know, quite delicate.
They are, and when you come see them on display, you'll notice that the lighting is quite low. They're enclosed in cases where the temperature and the humidity are very strictly controlled. And after about 3 months on display here in Cincinnati, we will rotate the 10 that are on display and bring out a new 10 so that we don't display anything for longer than about 90 days at a time. So all of those things are very closely monitored to make sure that we don't do any undue damage to the scrolls when they're on display.
And I understand in reading some of the materials that the first 10 that are on display, or even the second 10 that will be on display, will have to go into darkness to rest for a year
exactly.
after they've been on display.
I mean, I guess that's the irony, that the best state for these scrolls is to be sitting in a cave in the dark. So since that doesn't really help us in terms of educating people about them, we try to at least let them rest after they've been on display.
Well, there are thousands of scroll fragments. How did you go about choosing these 20 or so fragments that will be on display, since you had so much to choose
right.
from?
Well, that's always really challenging, because we want to give people, visitors to the museum, a snapshot of the variety of the library. And it really is kind of vast and varied. And yet we only have 10 opportunities at a time. So we chose scrolls that we thought people might be familiar with, like some of the biblical texts that people might have some familiarity with. We also chose scrolls where there was something interesting to look at, even if you couldn't read Hebrew, the language in which most of the scrolls are written. So there might be an interesting characteristic of the handwriting, or an interesting seam, or some correction or something that happened on the scroll. Size is also important, because we know that people want to come and see some of the bigger pieces, so mm-hmm. we tried to choose those. So I think if you come and look at the 10, you'll get a really good, quick snapshot of what the library looks like.
I think it's amazing, being 3,000 years old, how wonderful the calligraphy is, and clear, wonderful and clear for the most part on these parchments.
Yeah, you're right. And it's really clear that the people who copied and composed these texts were very skilled at what they did.
Well, what suggestions do you have for visitors to the exhibition? You know, I know there are not only these scroll fragments, but other archaeological pieces from the time that will be on display. As a visitor to the Dead Sea Scrolls Life and Faith in Ancient Times exhibition, how do you think a visitor should approach it?
I guess I would say be prepared to take a journey to a different part of the world, but also to a different period of time. And there are over 600 objects on display in addition to the scrolls. So plan to spend a little bit of time and be prepared to learn some new things.
And this is quite unique, because for the most part, the scrolls have not traveled outside of Israel, correct?
Not much, actually. And certainly I believe this is the only location in the Midwest.
What have we learned from the Dead Sea Scrolls? What has been most surprising and most enlightening?
I guess I would say, for me personally, that the human story is not all that different today than it was thousands of years ago. That as humans, we all share the same concerns. We're all trying to understand the world around us in a variety of different ways. And maybe the specifics have changed, but the overall concern for our place and finding it is universal across time. I think that's really an amazing thing.
Dr. Risa Levitt-Cohn, one of the co-curators of Dead Sea Scrolls, Life and Faith in Ancient Times, the blockbuster exhibition on view now at the Cincinnati Museum Center. It will be on view through April. Quite a journey back in time to take. You can learn more about the exhibition and the Cincinnati Museum Center by visiting our website, wvxu.org. Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.